Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me, I have the whole crew. I've got Sharpie, Chris, Lauren, and Steve.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
Howdy, Lisa.
Howdy, Sharpie.
Hello.
Hey, Chris. On today's show, we're going to be talking about some Disney news. And starting us off, let me see. Chris, since you have two stories tonight, I'm going to start with you, and you can pick whichever story you want.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the exciting one, which is the Skipper Canteen opening up in Adventureland in the Magic Kingdom. Now,
so exciting.
It was exciting. And here's what happened. I went down for my friend Christine for her birthday, which is a whole different thing, and gave me a new appreciation for Downtown Disney, I'll say that. But I went down for her birthday, and so the next – I was just, like, there for, like, 24 hours. And so the next day, I went to the Magic Kingdom, and I was just wandering around, and I get this phone call from Lauren, which is not unusual because Lauren is – you know, she's pretty codependent on me. Yeah, we both are. So anyway, so I answered – she's like, get over to Adventureland. They just opened the Skipper Canteen up, which – an hour before, there was like nothing but a big wall in front of it, right? So they did that pretty quickly. So I went over there and I couldn't get in because they were only seating about 20% of the restaurant. But the guy, one of the managers, Nathan, went ahead and took me through and he showed me around and I got to look at the menu and everything. It's really cute. So it's very cute. There's a big...
Yeah, tell us more.
You took some more pictures too of it that you posted on Mouse Chat that looked great.
I did. There's a big main dining room, and then there are, I think it's three smaller dining rooms, which personally that would be where I would want to sit. And each room has a theme. In the main dining room, they have little alcoves, which are extremely cute, kind of like what you see at Carthay Circle. If you've been to Carthay Circle and the little rooms they have off to the side, and then the smaller dining rooms, which I think are better themed than the main one. And it's basically Jungle Cruise meets the Adventurers Club. You're not going to have, obviously, shows and things going on there, I don't think. But the interesting thing was, there's a couple interesting things. One thing is the menu was out there. I mean, for me, it would be fine because I'll eat just about anything. If you are a picky eater, skip this place right now because there's nothing on the menu you will eat.
So what kind of stuff's on the menu?
Curried vegetable stew, which is great if you're a vegetarian. Pork buns, which I think a lot of people will eat.
That's not good.
They have a Thai spice steak, which I think is a turnoff for some people. They've got a grilled pork tenderloin, but again, a little different with the spices. They have they went kind of interesting with the appetizers. They have like a falafel. They've got lots of fish on the menu. They've got hot and sour soup. They've got a salad, but it's not your typical salad. I'm going to say skip it or go with the kids menu. They do have a kids menu.
Hmm. Although the steak looks interesting, and so the chicken doesn't look bad either.
Well, and so I think – go ahead.
The question I have is how long is it going to be before they change the menu?
Because I don't know, and I wondered that too. But they do have, like, for kids, they've got – lamb chops. They've got a steak salad for the kids. They've got the pork buns again. They have mac and cheese, fish again. So you're not necessarily, getting your typical Disney menu.
I like it that it's not a typical Disney menu, but the problem is, because you can get the typical Disney menu everywhere.
Yes.
But the problem is that everyone's going to go in there and be like, where are the chicken nuggets for my kid? And where's the mac and cheese? And then,
you know, I mean,
since they're not accepting reservations, I mean, it may serve a very, very unique population.
I think so. Well, I think that was the interesting thing because, so today is a Tuesday and it's the 15th and they're opening officially on the 16th. But, the one thing I asked, I said, well, when are you opening up for reservations? He said, no, we're not. He said, we worked really hard to keep this a secret, but this is to serve people who can't get these reservations 6 months out. He said that they wanted to be able to have options for table service for those people, which I think is fantastic as someone who does not plan that far in advance usually.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, I have two thoughts on this. Okay. First, I think they're going to do this to begin with because everybody wants in.
Right.
But I think that eventually, and I think genius on Disney's part, because they can't get everybody in that wants to get in. So genius on Disney's part to not go with reservations in the beginning. But I think that my prediction is that within 6 months you see reservations.
I think you might be right. I don't know. I wonder. I mean, it's actually an interesting angle, and I didn't think of that. And I think it's pretty smart if that's what they're doing to kind of, you know, they know there's so much hype, people are going to eat there anyway. I don't know. In my heart, I want to think that Disney is doing this as a response to people complaining because they're sick of having to plan every part of their vacation out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so nice to have a place that you're not going to walk up to, like, be our guest, and they're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Do you know what's
for
interesting, Steve, though?
Yeah.
For breakfast and for lunch, there were multiple spots available the day before for Be Our Guest, which surprised me because it used to be for Be Our Guest, it was a little hard to get that lunchtime or that breakfast reservation, mm-hmm. but there were multiple times available when I looked the day before because I ended up eating lunch there. So
it'll be interesting. I wonder if there's any little like skipper jokes or.
He said there's a ton of hidden Mickeys.
Huh.
So, but he was wonderful. And I really appreciated, I put a picture of him on the Mousetrap page. I appreciated the fact that he took time out. They were so busy. And right in the middle of our tour, this lady went off on him. And so it was not an easy day, of course. So that was very nice of him.
I also, I wonder if there, when you look at the menu, it seems very similar to menus you would see in say, Disneyland.
Yes, mm-hmm. I thought that too. Yep. Yeah.
I wonder.
That's what I thought.
I'm wondering if they're trying, because, you know, Disneyland does have a lot more healthy options. I wonder if they're trying to go more that way.
Well, it would be nice if that were the case.
Yeah.
But again, and you know, I always say to people, if you like a steak, but you're not an adventurous eater, just have them take off the seasoning because that's super easy for them to do. So I'm guessing that if you don't like a Thai spice on your steak, which I'm guessing it won't be very hot anyway or spicy, that you can go ahead and do that.
Is it necktie or bow tie?
No tie.
No tie. Okay. Completely casual.
Completely casual.
I'm excited. It's going to be, and I'm glad that they didn't put in like a chain of some kind, and they were doing something of their own, like that Indiana Jones theme bar, and now they've got the Skipper Cantina. So they're kind of going out on their own and doing some neat, unique themes.
I like that they've got, you know, a new theme going on, but, you know, that menu is the opposite of me.
Yeah, you're not going to like it.
I'm making a beeline for that place in February.
Are you really?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
What are you going to eat?
I'll find something to eat. I can always find something to eat. I'll have a steak or chicken.
That is so not true because I sat through dinner at Rose and Crown Pub with you and Lisa, and it was one of the more traumatizing meals I've experienced.
Yes, I did end up eating off the kids' menu.
But I did wind up ordering something. I ordered something.
And you were,
did you eat it?
I was not happy, but I ordered it.
Oh, see, okay. I really like the menu at Rose and Crown.
Me too.
I like the lunch menu at Rose and Crown.
Well, they have an awesome burger.
They have a great burger. I'm not into bangers and mash.
Bangers and mash are awesome. It's the name of my band. It's the name of my punk band, Bangers and Mash. You guys should see me playing Friday night.
I could still go somewhere else with that.
See, I kept it clean with my punk band.
I didn't.
Lauren.
Didn't they used to play at Epcot and then they got replaced with some Canadian thing that everybody's upset about?
Wait, my gosh, that's actually news.
They're gone, right?
They're gone. They got rid of them.
Well, it wasn't Bangers and Mash. But.
I don't know who they were. It was like some Canadian lumberjack show. And excuse me, when you tell me it's a lumberjack show, I expect something a little more, you know, macho.
So what happened, Chris? What happened? I didn't hear the whole. What's the whole story?
I believe there's going to be a pun-telling story with Chris Sharps there.
I'm
just gonna sit on a chair.
Center stage.
I'm waiting on the contract in the mail.
Yes. But he's trying to, I heard he's trying to negotiate shirtless versus not shirtless.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Weren't you surprised that they actually looked like real lumberjacks? I thought they were going to look more like GQ.
Well, yeah, that would might have been gone a little better.
Was there something wrong with me that I expected that? And then they fell.
You should be expecting Paul Bunyan.
That's what they looked like.
No, what are we talking about? Is this the show that came or is coming or left?
No,
or left?
Okay, Steve, here's the deal. They used to have Off Kilter. Apparently, yes. It was very popular. I would just usually walk past it and go, eh, whatever.
It was good music. Really great musicians. Really, really good musicians.
And this was in the UK?
Yes, it was in the Canada.
It was in Canada.
It was in Canada. So you would walk by. You could stop and see the guys in kilts. They had always a big crowd. Anyway, they got rid of them for some reason. I actually know the real story. And then, because, you know, I know people. But anyway, so they got rid of Off Kilter. And what ended up happening was they replaced them with these lumberjack guys. Mm-hmm. And they would bring back Off Kilter at Christmas time. But, of course, everyone hated. I guess people were heckling the lumberjacks even. But yeah, I watched the lumberjacks.
I may have been one of those.
You know what? I actually watched the lumberjacks for like 5 minutes once, and I was like, whatever. I mean, honestly, I didn't expect them to be shirtless. I did expect them to be entertaining.
Well, so the best was when we were there in October. Terry wanted to watch. My cousin wanted to watch it, and so it was me. It was you guys had left, so it was just me, Terry, Mandy, and one of our agents, Heather. And Mandy and I were like, we're out of here. We were just like, this is crazy. So her and I were just kind of, we walked in over and we sat, and then eventually they all followed over. But it was kind of funny because we were both like, yep, nope, we're done.
Yeah, who cares? Lumberjacks, really? Please.
Doesn't
Canada has so, you know what? If they wanted to show a true Canadian experience, they should just set up like a little hockey rink.
Hmm. Well, lumberjacks. I mean, idea. It's the thing. I think I walked by and they were log rolling, and
yes.
And that was, I saw like 3 seconds of that. And
yeah, wood chopping, log rolling. They had a variety of.
I kept worried. I saw
a
that
beaver
too.
Petting zoo
activities.
That would be awesome. You can't
beaver
pet a
petting
beaver.
Zoo.
Yes.
I was worried that they were going to fall and hit their head on the side when they were on those logs. It was a little disconcerting for me.
Could happen.
It could have happened.
Good.
But now they're bringing an acoustic group
was it
back
a quartet?
To that stage.
That's is it the same guys? Have. It's the same guys.
It's not. No? I don't think it's not Off Kilter, and it's more of an acoustic music. It's because Off Kilter was pretty driven, like rock.
Yeah.
Celtic rock. I mean, that was kind of their gig. But this apparently this is kind of a little bit more laid back, I would say, in terms of being acoustic music.
So the lumberjacks are no more.
Lumberjacks are no more.
Oh. Nobody cared to begin with, so it's perfect.
I may be throwing a party.
They've been
does anyone
been
even
split
care?
And tossed to the wood
like,
pile.
Like when you go through Morocco and you see the little people out, they're not little people, they're big people. Mm-hmm. But you see the people out there singing. Are you like, do you ever stop? No. You're like, hey, glad you're employed, but I'm just going to keep walking because I have, you know, ice cream waiting for me in France or whatever. I mean, no one ever stops and watches that stuff. The only thing I ever really saw people drawn to was Off Kilter or the fake Beatles. I don't know who those were.
Well, the Chinese.
Oh, they're good.
The China Pavilion.
The acrobats. The acrobats.
And the drummers. The lady drummers.
No, I never watched those.
Oh, yeah. And Japan. I mean, they're all.
You
it depends.
Just,
it depends.
Not to mention the mimes.
Ugh.
In Italy.
Got
hours remember? Watching them.
I love the mimes.
Yeah. Okay.
I love the mimes.
Yeah, that reminds me. I've watched the mimes before. But that's also because the orange Grey Goose slushie is right there. So, you know.
I mean, and that's also the same time that they took away the fife and drum corps from America.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have the Voices of Liberty doing a cappella rock a cappella. Kind of crazy.
That was pretty awful when I saw that.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I miss them in there. But, and I mean, whatever you think about it, is the average average family going to watch, stop and watch this a cappella singing ensemble doing American folk tunes?
Not with little kids.
I'm not going to stop and watch them sing, you know, Baby's Got Back or whatever they're singing. Actually, I would stop for that.
I was just going to say, don't lie to us. You would be there.
I would.
You would be right
dancing.
There.
Feet
I'd be planted
doing that
on the
dance.
Pavement. Yes, you would be there.
Yeah, that's
all
nice.
Right. Next news story, all right. Lisa.
All right, I'll go next. So it seems this is. I'm going to have to preface this with this is a rumor. This is not in stone. It's not officially announced, but. It seems that there are going to be some security changes over at Disney. And it's a good idea, I have to say. It's a huge target. If, you know, in light of recent events, we've got California, San Bernardino, we've got Paris, we've got some bad things happening in the world. And I can absolutely see how Orlando, specifically Disney World, would be a big target. Mm-hmm. There are lots of people there. And so what they're going to be doing is beefing up security. And currently, when you enter one of the parks, all you have to do is a bag check. And sometimes they're a little more thorough than others. Sometimes they just poke around with their stick and they're done. But now it's going to be getting a little more rigid, I guess. And it's rumored.
A little more in depth.
It is. It's going to be a lot tougher to get into the Magic Kingdom. They're going to just have, it's going to be harder to get in with things you shouldn't get in with. And
makes sense.
The security upgrades or beefing up of security is rumored to begin at the end of this week. So December 17th. And they're going to be incorporating the use of scanners, just like you'd see at the airport. They're not only going to have the metal detectors, but... some sort of machines that will detect other objects of danger. They're going to have the handheld wands in case they need to do specific searches. Again, all rumored. And outside of the gates, outside of the actual park gates, they're going to have more police officers patrolling. They're going to have their canine units going around. And then inside the park, they're going to have some changes as well. The first one is no more toy guns that are going to be sold on Disney property at all. They didn't say anything about swords, but I can kind of see how a fake gun is one thing.
These are like guns from like the 1800s or something. They're like right. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Do you know what the rationale behind that is, though? The rationale is you can take that and...
You can modify it.
You can modify it and turn it into an actual weapon. That's the rationale. No one thinks that little red gun that kids are running around with is real. The rationale is you could bring that in, play with that, and then you could have it.
So no more guns being sold anywhere on Disney property. And then the last thing is they've been a little – there's always been a bit of a rule about adults not dressing up like characters or, you know, how they present themselves in the parks. But now they're going to lower this to 14 and older that they are not allowed to wear masks. So if you're essentially a teenager or older, no more masks.
I've never seen anyone in the park with a mask on.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I don't think I have.
I have.
I can't recall, but...
Sharpie, yeah. No Zorro mask for you anymore.
Make the sign of the Z.
So it's interesting. It's scary. And I've always thought in the back of my head that Disney's a target. But you think about so many different places, and they're targets. Well, and if you live your life in fear...
I understand,
you know,
but it's going to be... You know how crowded... It is now at Epcot and at Magic Kingdom when the ferry and the buses and in addition, you've got to have, if they do this, you have to have everyone go through a metal detector.
Yeah.
And then those people are
going
to.
They do it at Disneyland Paris.
Yeah. And you're still going through one by one anyway.
Now, Disneyland Paris, they only stay actually put your luggage through an airport scanner. You know,
that's
like,
what they need.
But they don't make you go through a metal detector. But I am sure that's probably already changed.
Well, and that kind of leads to the next part of the story, which is carrying something on your person. And there
was you could have easily done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to carry, I always thought to myself, if someone's going to carry a weapon in, why wouldn't you have an ankle holster or just put it in your coat pocket or something? Why would you keep it in your handbag?
Yeah.
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 And then go through bag check.
Yeah.
But there was an incident recently with someone who attempted to bring in a weapon. And
the guy was a lawyer.
Yeah.
He was obviously wacko because he had it in his pants. I mean, like, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I don't know what he planned on doing with what they said, 5 hollow tips.
Oh, my God.
And at one point, he had a concealed carry license, but it was at least a year. It was a year and a half.
Well, long expired.
Yeah, I think he said like 10 years old.
It doesn't matter if you have a concealed carry permit if there's a prohibition on weapons on that property.
Yeah. It's very true. And I mean, I want to be perfectly clear that the entirety of Disney property is there is a weapons ban across Disney property, and that's whether you believe in the right to bear arms or not, it's a rule that is there for safety. And whenever you begin to look at people who are carrying weapons,
seem a little wacky.
No, that's not. I don't believe that to be the case.
Yeah, I shouldn't say that because the last time I spoke out against somebody who left a handgun in the, I believe it was Rock and Roller Coaster, somebody wrote a nasty review on
Dinosaur.
iTunes.
It was Dinosaur.
Was it Dinosaur?
Yeah, because it was.
And said I was a bad person.
Yeah, because I mean, and that's I have a good friend who I actually have several close friends who are law enforcement officers.
That's
and I mean, they carry their guns with them everywhere they go.
That is totally different, though.
Do you believe they should be allowed to bring their guns into the parks, though?
I actually do, because my ex-husband was a police officer in Florida, and he was required to carry his weapon everywhere off duty. And when we would go to the parks, because we went a lot, because we were nerds, he'd have to leave it in the car.
Right.
Well, then they passed the law. When I was there, they passed it where you couldn't even bring it on property. So if you left it in the car, it was illegal as well because you were on property.
It's tough
and that's
for cops.
Still the rule that's in place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with police officers. I have no issue with someone having lawfully carrying a handgun. However, this guy was not lawfully carrying a handgun. So.
But the thing is, you know, you get these good guys carrying guns, and let's just say the scenario comes up that a bad guy gets in with a gun or some sort of weapon and there's a threat. You now have a good guy with a gun that can protect and, you know,
well,
save the
day.
Well,
I like to, in my mind, there are snipers hidden on the roof.
Yeah. No, those are lightning rods.
Those are lightning rods.
Those are too many. There's too many lightning rods to fit a sniper on there.
No, well, I mean, and, you know, that leads us to another thing. I'm sure Disney, in response to everything that's been going on in the last couple of years, has hired more security.
Yeah, a lot of undercover.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Folks walking around, and they're armed. They're secure.
And they have a ton
because
of cameras.
I'll tell you what, that deputy, sorry, Steve, that deputy, when that guy took off, he was after him. I mean, like right away.
Yeah, and he had his service weapon drawn. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the guy who was attempting to go into the parks with a gun was at gunpoint himself because of the law enforcement officer.
Well, and how scary was that for people who witnessed that? Because that's like right in the front of the park.
They probably thought it was streetmosphere.
Yeah.
That'd be
those.
Some pretty bad streetmosphere, especially in light of everything that's been going on.
Yeah, there's very little humor and entertainment to that.
Yeah. I mean, especially having just passed the anniversary of Sandy Hook. I mean, whenever you look at Walt Disney World is a happy place for so many people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Disney does not want a security threat. They do not want an incident because that is going to drive people away in mass numbers. So, I mean, Disney's going to do everything they possibly can to keep not only the park safe, but also the resorts and to make sure and to minimize any possibility of this happening.
Yeah.
It's one of the few places I feel comfortable walking alone at night. Now, I will say I was also over at Universal. I didn't feel comfortable. So, you know, I think Disney property is probably one of the safest places you can be. Obviously, you have to use caution. I would support anywhere. Any kind of, yeah, I would support any sense. Kind of,
yeah.
You know, security measures they want to implement. They're just going to probably have to change up everything as far as the entrance goes.
Yeah, because whenever you look, we're right on the cusp of the holiday season.
Oof.
I mean, they're getting ready to be hit with the most massive crowds of the year, and to implement this right before the start of the holiday season.
All right. Well, let's keep moving. And again, I'm going to wrap that up by saying that it is rumor about these new security upgrades, but they're pretty specific. Just saying. All right. Let's go over to Lauren, and you're going to tell us about a what?
A reduction in price. Yes. Let me repeat that.
Say that again.
A reduction in price. You are not mishearing me. Disney, out of nowhere yesterday, slashed prices on Memory Maker. The price was $199 if you didn't purchase it ahead of time. And if you purchased it at least 3 days out, it was a discounted price of $169. And as of yesterday, they dropped the price to $169. And if you pre-purchase it at least 3 days or more out, it's $149. I believe this is unprecedented. I don't think this has ever happened before in Disney. But yeah, so they dropped it back to the original price, which I find interesting.
And I don't think they had a problem selling it.
Well, they must have had a problem.
It was shockingly not. You know, so many people were
still buying it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Steve, you would be surprised the number of our clients were like, can you add Memory Maker?
But then why did they drop the price? I figure that they have all these photographers hanging out and they're just not.
Well, here's the thing. They're not selling enough of them. And they added it as a,
part of the annual pass.
So now you have all those annual pass holders that may have purchased it at one point or another that are now not going to purchase it.
You know
Think about this.
Go ahead.
Does it really cost them anything? It's just, I mean, you know, I'm sure Steve could speak to this more than I can, obviously. No. But once you have a website going and up and running and people are basically doing all the work for you other than the PhotoPass photographers and keeping the website going, I mean, it costs Disney nothing. It's like a hopper. It's like a hopper. Yeah. Thank you. It is
right,
exactly
and that's
like
what I was thinking. That
well, no,
why not?
Cost them something because they have to pay for the photographers.
They have to pay for the photographers, and they have to pay obviously to keep that website going. But we know how that goes with Disney websites. So
okay, but you know, as far as paying all those photographers, whether they're selling, and I'm just going to use some stupid numbers, whether they're selling 10 of these Memory Makers a day or 100, they still need to have all those photographers at those specific locations. So why not reduce the price and try and get more people than just those 10?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
It could be that they saw that more people were utilizing it when it was at the price of $149.
No, we don't know what their motivation is on this. They may have seen drops.
If I sell you 5 chicken nuggets for $1, that's much more appealing than 8 chicken nuggets for $3.99.
Okay.
But you know what
are
I'm
these
saying?
The old chicken nuggets or the new chicken nuggets?
These are the McDonald's nuggets. I'm actually thinking of the dollar menu at McDonald's because I haven't really had dinner. So,
Sharpie, you were going to say something earlier.
What I was going to say was exactly along those same lines is that they were not selling the number, a high enough number to make what they wanted to make. So if they lower the price, they're going to sell more. I always thought that it was high at $169.
Yeah.
And it's an arbitrary thing, really.
It absolutely is. And even whenever working with clients telling them about Memory Maker, they're like, oh, no, we always take our own pictures. But you don't realize how convenient it is just to walk up, have your picture taken, and move on, not having to carry a high-quality camera, not having to ask someone to take a family picture, to have everyone in the picture.
Yeah.
PhotoPass is one of the best services that Disney offers. And, I mean, they really do have photographers all around the parks. I've even seen them in the Lazy River at the water parks. Far be it for me to want a Lazy River photo of myself as a memento of my vacation.
You know what? Maybe you can say, hey, see that girl behind me? Snap a photo of her, and I'll pretend to put my arm around her. You know, maybe that'll work.
That's funny.
But yeah, so I mean, you know, so many places where you can have your photo taken, and it's all included in one price, especially once they moved to no longer mailing you a CD. Everything's available for download.
Yep.
Their costs went down exponentially to keep and maintain it. So, yeah, I think it was a good move on their part.
I think, you know, I also think one of the things Disney would be very wise to do is if you book a travel agent package, I think Disney should throw Memory Maker in. Because since the AP came out with the Memory Maker, I never spent the money on it. And after I did use it this past trip, I really enjoyed using it and having it.
Mm-hmm.
So they would be wise to have that put onto agent packages.
Is this your little message to Disney?
Yeah, it is. Because if they would, if they did that, and I get it now anyway, so it doesn't matter to me, but like, I think they would sell a lot more of it because the agents would be using it.
The more they expose us to, the more that we're apt to
advocate for it.
Right. We're going to push it to our clients and say, this is awesome.
We like it. Like, I never sold it before. I used it in October, unless somebody asked me about it, because I thought it was a waste of money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that we always tried to sell, because even with just Jesse and I, we would buy it almost every single trip. Because we really do use it. It's just the two of us even. But yeah, that was really one of our biggest souvenir purchases was Memory Maker. Or Photo Pass, as it used to be called.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's kind of, you know, it's one of those things that you don't really know the value of it until you use it.
Yeah. And the ability to add the frames and the character signatures. It's just a lot of really cool features.
Yep.
The website is very feature rich. I did a quick trip over the first weekend of December. And the reason for that was I wanted to go down and see the Osborne lights one last time before they're gone forever. And I really went down with the big intent of kind of capturing the attention of one of the Osborne cast members. I had done it before a couple years ago, and I learned just so much about the light display and what they do. This time I was able to do the same thing. I talked to the guy for at least 45 minutes. I mean, we talked about every element of the display. And there's a team of 12 who work year round on Osborne lights. That's all they do. Their job is to design it, to execute it, to maintain it. They work in the evenings to make sure everything's running correctly. And he said as of last weekend, whenever I spoke to him, he said that the 12 cast members who are currently assigned to that have not received any sort of notification that the lights are being moved. The only notification that they have received is that they are all being reassigned to other areas. So they're not losing their jobs, but they're being reassigned to different areas. So there's a lot of rumors floating around about the future of Osborne lights. One of the biggest, in my opinion, is that they are going to kind of make room for it at Disney Springs. I've heard that they're going to move it to Epcot. I've heard they're going to move it to California Adventure. There's been a lot of banter around the Disney community about what's going to happen. There have actually been Disney fans showing up at Osborne or at Hollywood Studios to see the Osborne lights with banners and signs, save the lights, and all sorts of stuff like that.
I saw you on Periscope. I was waiting for you to chain yourself to the black cat. And then just put it on Periscope.
I was going to.
That would have been awesome.
That's honestly, I mean, I did the trip down there just to see the Osborne lights. It is, if you've never seen it, look, I did a couple Periscope videos from it. Check those out on the Mouse Chat Twitter page. Take a look. They're absolutely incredible. And I mean, it's just been, been an incredible run at Disney's Hollywood Studios, but that entire area, the Streets of America, that entire back area of the park is disappearing due to Star Wars Land. So once January comes, that entire area is going to be bulldozed.
Mm.
So flat to the
so
ground.
So sad.
It is. It's.
I mean,
Hollywood Studios is going to
be
a totally different park after. Yeah.
It'll be beautiful, but it's sad.
Well, when you think about it, though, it's kind of a useless area.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, visually, I enjoyed
it, really
it
is.
But it didn't really serve any purpose. So
well, that's why
I
was
understand it.
Yeah, it was perfect for Osborne Lights because they had the back lot that used to be done in Osborne Lights, and the whole idea was it was going to be a film set for all these commercials and TV shows and movies that never happened. So it fit perfectly for Osborne Lights, and then they slowly got rid of the back lot, and then they are now getting rid of those fake streets. And I can't see them moving it to Disney Springs because it's not like Disney Springs. They're like, out there with signs on I-4 trying to get people in there. I mean,
right,
they have
yeah.
so
that
many people
awesome.
In Disney
are.
Springs. So they're going to be like
Disney Springs billboards all over the.
Seriously, they're all over I-4.
Oh,
I cannot.
Miss oh, nice.
Them.
Yeah, but I mean,
but it's packed.
The place is mobbed.
So I can't.
It is mobbed.
I can't imagine them like giving something like a giant free draw to get all the everybody who wants to come in.
Well, it's like not having characters there
and see Osborne Lights for nothing.
They want people to pay for what they feature.
So I don't see it going there, but. I don't know.
I can kind of see it. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think ultimately there are lots of practical concerns for not doing it. So, and I don't even know if like it would necessarily fit in there. The buildings aren't that high. Some of them are kind of squat, you know?
Yeah. And then you got to set that stuff up early and you got all that stuff going on during the day. Anyway, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm looking forward to Star Wars and everything else going to Hollywood Studios. So, and then maybe they'll come up with something new. They'll come out with some new technology.
I sort of had to have my mourning over it, and now I'm like, okay, I'm done. You know, if they want to do something different, I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't, I'm okay with that too. Maybe that's just my bitter, disappointed little heart talking, but I kind of feel like I'm okay with it. And I'm really excited about the Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, I think that's going to be pretty awesome.
Be good. All right, Madam Wong, we're going back to you. You've got a second story for us.
Okay, so I was very excited about this, and I just heard about this today. Thanks to Mandy. Hello, Mandy. Thank you. Who texted me this morning and was like, oh my God, they're having brunch at California Grill. So starting February 7th, Disney's going to start serving brunch on Sundays at California Grill. And it sounds like it's going to be a whole experience. You're going to start off with, you know, having some pastries and, you know, a drink and some, you know, little kind of almost appetizers, and then move into the main room where you have a choice of an entree. So there's tons of food. And your entrees are everything from like sweet potato pancakes, which I am not a fan of, to shrimp and grits, poached lobster, you know, a frittata. And then, of course, there's dessert after. So it says it's going to be $80 for adults, yes, and for
Holy
ages 3
guacamole.
To 11. I know.
No, that's extra.
I know, really. For 3 to 11-year-olds, it's $48.
Oh, 3 to 11, $48?
Right. So this is a good time.
$50 breakfast for a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For
a 3-year-old.
My 3-year-old is never going
to. And so they're going to have every character ever known to man at this event, right?
I hope not.
No, it's just going to be a grown-up sort of sophisticated brunch. I mean, the food sounds amazing.
$80.
So,
does it sound $80 worth of amazing, though?
You know what? We will see.
Okay.
Chris is gonna go.
They're not. It's only one day a week. I can guarantee they will not have any trouble.
I know.
Filling this.
I know
at
they
all.
Won't. I know.
So they won't because, you know, when you think about it, like to me, okay, there are a huge list of things that I think are a waste of money. Memory Maker? No. Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique? No. Pirates League? Okay, maybe a little bit. I mean, I have like this, but to me this, I don't think that sounds like a waste of money. If you want to have like a nice, relaxing Sunday brunch, you're there with, you know, an extended family, maybe grandparents. I think it sounds fantastic.
You know what? I just decided we're going to do a show on biggest waste of money at Disney.
All right, so Chris, what that's for you, your family, that's what? That's $280 plus tax?
No, that's
tax.
Only $160 because I'm leaving my kids with Mandy.
I'm gonna give, you know what? Mandy wanted to go too.
Mandy's not going. If I buy Mandy lunch, Mandy will take him to the parks. Seriously. Thanks, Mandy.
That's a lot of money for brunch. It's like that's over $300 with tip and tax in there. It's probably $320.
Wow,
that's a lot of money.
Yeah, $260. Like if you do two kids, was it $50 for kids?
$40, right?
$50. You've got Mr. and Mrs. just newly married. They're going to go there. They're going to roll out of bed, have some brunch.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a lot of reasons that they'll fill that up.
Yes,
but. None of them.
Yeah, $240 for a family of four with two kids, two adults.
No way. Again, Mandy.
It's not going to happen with me. There's no way. I mean, and then I think of.
It's going to be a waste for you anyway because your kids aren't going to eat it. Lisa's not going to eat it. You're going to sit there all by yourself.
No, don't expect an actual live review from any of us on that.
Well, Chris is going. Guaranteed Chris was going to go.
Steve, are you going to send me? You can just
I'll go with you at some point.
Yeah. Yes, Lauren and I can have a romantic brunch there.
How are those $80 pancakes, Chris?
Can you hold my hand?
Gold leaf sprinkled on those.
Yeah, she'll hold your hand as you sign the check.
Yes.
I mean, I see there's things that are worth it, like Victoria and Albert's for $150 or whatever.
Yeah, Victoria and Albert's just got a little more steep, too.
Club 33 or, I don't know, there's things that I think are worth it. To do as a special thing, or Carthay Circle, or there's a lot of things that are worth it. But $80 for a brunch? Then you can go on your dessert party and pay $100 a person to go get some desserts.
I have to be honest, it's probably not something that I will do, but you're right. Something like Victoria and Albert's, Carthay Circle, Club 33, Citrico's.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many. There's so many things.
Their biscuits and gravy are not going to be as good as mine. Let's just face it.
No,
there is nothing.
I have to agree with you. I need to go there just to prove that, though.
I don't know.
You know, when it comes right, see, the thing is, we always look at it with our solidly middle class thing. But like, you know, I always have a hard time with this because I tend to book a lot of value resort people. So I'm always, when I talk to clients, I'm always going the budget angle. Well, let's see how we can stretch this, you know, table service. Let's see how we can stretch a quick service. So I don't get a lot of deluxe clients. And so when I do, I tend to undersell things to them because I'm not used to it for myself. But there are people out there who are going to spend $500 a night at the Grand Floridian and not think twice about spending $80 on lunch.
Well, that's a valid point.
Yeah, I mean, it's
we're just not those people.
Would you do it as a two credit table service?
And that's a good question. Is it on the dining plan?
You know what? I don't think it is.
It
can't be on the dining plan because 80 is too high for two credits. Because generally, your two credit meals are more like 60 to 70. Don't you think?
Yeah, I would think.
Their expenditure on this isn't they're going to sell this as a signature dining event.
Yeah. Well, to me, you know what I like about it? Since we go to Disney a lot, all of us, it's always fun to try something different. And so for me, this is sort of an interesting angle because it's like, oh, I've not done this. I've not had brunch there. You know, having said that, I think the real, you know, draw of this restaurant is the nighttime and how the castle looks. Cause you know, during the day you're looking out that window, you're seeing a lot of parking lot. So
yeah, definitely.
It's not the optimum time to be there, I don't think. So if I only had a choice of one, I'd be picking dinner.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Sharpie, we had one more from you that I think we missed, which was on your last stay, you were over at Orange Lake Resort.
Yeah, when I went down to the Orange Lake Resort, it's actually a Holiday Inn vacation club property. Massive, massive, massive resort. If you're the type of family that you you don't really want to spend every waking moment in the parks, which I don't know. I don't know any of those people, you know, because I want to be there from rope drop to I want to close the place out. But the resort offers a lot of amenities. I mean, it's a really, really large resort. A lot of Lazy River right there on the property. Pretty fairly large water park. It's all villa style accommodations. Had a good stay there. I mean, it's about 10 minutes from Animal Kingdom. One the Friday morning there, I got up, I went had a sit down breakfast there. I think I ate at Perkins that morning, it was actually really good. Which was kind of shocking.
It was under $80.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Are you like the only person in there under 80?
Yeah, there's a lot of 80s flying around.
But I had a cranberry orange muffin with my breakfast, and it was delicious. Mm-hmm. It was amazing because I with dieting and stuff, I don't eat many carbs
with a side of prunes.
But it was worth it. I'll have the prune juice. Yeah, but it was good though. It was good. Nice cheap breakfast. But I was out of there in 20 minutes. I made it over to Animal Kingdom in about 5 minutes from there. So really great location. I would recommend it to folks who aren't willing to fork over the cash to stay on property and who aren't quite as concerned about spending as much time in the property. Say, for instance, if you're going to go down for a full week and maybe only spend 2 days at Disney in one of the theme parks, by all means, it's a great resort option. My room was super clean, very easy to get in and out of. Security right at the front gate, a lot of amenities. So yeah, I wouldn't.
Is it really
hesitate to stay there again?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is it a place like if you have your own car?
And that's actually a really good point. I would definitely recommend having a car there, because the resort itself is just absolutely gigantic. I mean, it is sprawling. Go ahead.
What did you fly in on? I flew into
Sanford. Yeah.
Okay. So you got a cheap flight.
It was $120 round trip. Not a bad flight price at all. If you've never flown into Sanford, which I had never flown into Sanford prior to this trip, we have at our local airport, we have a flight that does, it flies both Thursday and Sunday. So you can do a Thursday through Sunday. You can do Sunday through Sunday, Thursday through Thursday, however you want to break it up. But direct flight right into Sanford. I mean, it's about an hour and 45 minutes from where we live. From gate to gate. The only thing with Sanford is it really is about 45 minutes to an hour away from Disney property.
Yeah.
And I mean, to be fair, you can be on quote unquote on Disney property within about 30-35 minutes. If you're looking at the extremity of Disney property, but from the airport to the Orange Lake Resort, it was right at 45 to 50 minutes. So pretty, because the Orange Lake Resort is just south of Animal Kingdom Park, kind of southwest of there. But yeah, and I mean as far as the rest of my trip down went, it was so exciting to see all the work happening at Animal Kingdom on Avatar Land. The floating island is beginning to take shape. A really, really cool visual effect, especially from the parking lot. And then also to see the work that is happening for Rivers of Light. And it's also, I've been hearing rumors there, that Rivers of Light may launch on Earth Day. So,
I bet they'll target that if they can. They love to do that.
Yep. Cause Animal Kingdom Park opened on Earth Day, and the conservation is a big part of their message.
And when is Earth Day? Do you know when Earth Day is?
Earth Day is in April.
April 22nd.
All right. Okay.
Good job, Lauren.
I'm on it.
It's like having Siri, but better.
Lauren, when is Earth Day?
April 22nd.
You just have to have an Australian accent when you answer.
Wait a minute. I don't have an Australian Siri.
I think you do.
No, I don't.
Don't you
I have this lady. She's got an attitude.
Amber changed mine to the Australian man.
Oh, you can change there? We need Amber.
Yeah, I've got... What he says some weird things. Oh, I'll say call Steve Mobile, and he'll say, "Okay, calling Steve Mobile."
They have a shirtless lumberjack one too, Lauren.
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Shirtless lumberjack Surrey.
Good day, Lauren.
Very nice.
No, it would be if it's Canadian. Be what is it? Hello, eh?
Hello,
eh? What do you need, eh?
How's it going, eh?
Mm-hmm.
How's it going,
I wouldn't even attempt that.
Like you're going to be out and about.
Get some Tim Hortons. Yummy.
Tim's.
Yes.
I only know Horton
some,
has a
hoot. Some Labatt's.
Some Labatt's?
It's beer.
Is it? Great. Great White North?
Yes.
All right. All right. I'm roping this back in.
That's it.
Probably a good
can
call.
Can I say something? Because it was related to Sharpie's flight.
Okay.
I flew Frontier, and I have to tell you, if you're ever just looking for a super cheap, bare bones flight down to Orlando, it was $80, and I got it like 3 days before I left.
It was a round trip, right?
Yes. On the other hand, I couldn't bring anything on but a little backpack, which kind of stunk because I don't travel light.
That's the way it was with Allegiant as well.
Allegiant? Okay. So I think Spirit is like that too. I'm definitely going to start exploring these cheaper airlines when I don't need to bring like a suitcase, which is like any trip under 24 hours. Because otherwise,
Can I just say
I did
something?
Thursday through Sunday in a backpack, so it was awesome.
I would pay money to see Chris travel with just a backpack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was. I only had two pairs of shoes, and I ended up only.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I know. Yeah. Well, because we were going.
In addition to what you were wearing?
I had two outfits and the shoes and what the ones I was wearing.
Wait,
yeah.
In a 24-hour period?
I know. I mean, I don't know how I did it.
I don't think it's possible. I'm not buying it.
I felt really disgusting.
I would need evidence of that. I don't believe it.
I felt really disgusting at the end of the day.
Did you buy clothes while you were there?
No, but I left that option open.
Or a suitcase.
It was awful.
All right. As I was saying, I'm going to try and rope this in.
Good call.
All right. So I'd like to thank PixieVacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. If you have comments or questions for us, please send those to us at comments@mousechat.net. If you enjoy listening to our shows, you can download those at iTunes and also at mousechat.net. Thank you so much for listening. Please join us again next time on Mousechat.